All right, so we have the 40 Days of Community that is about to start. The kickoff luncheon is next week, and we want everyone to participate and everyone to be a part, not only of the luncheon, but of the entire study. And so you'll have an opportunity for those that don't attend an ABF to attend one of those at 9:45 on Sundays. And if that doesn't work with your schedule, then we'll have registration beginning next Sunday for our small groups. But concerning the luncheon, what I'd like for you to do is to look at the center of your worship guide. If you take that out, look at that with me just for a moment. You will see what each family needs to bring. So just make a note of that. If you want to bring more than just for your family, that's fine. But understand that the church is providing the meat. You don't have to register for this event. It's open to everyone. So we look forward to that. This, again, is part of our bigger effort of moving from friendly to family. And so the 40 Days of Community is going to help us do that in a very concentrated manner. So please be a part of this 6-week study. At this time now, if you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. So last week, just to do a real quick overview, we were looking at a family in grief. Again, as a church family, we go through times of grief. And in our culture today, people just kind of have the idea, at least in American culture, just sort of, hey, buddy, what's wrong? Just push through it. Come on, it's going to be okay. You'll be all right. And even in the American church community, there's this idea of, well, you know, God's just going to take care of it all. He's working it all out for good. In other words, we kind of minimize it. And even if we have a loved one that's passed, people often say to us, don't be sad. They wouldn't want you to be sad. They're now in heaven. Listen, you can't help but be sad. You can't help but grieve. And we experience all kind of losses throughout our life, not only the death of loved ones, as we as a church have experienced, goodness, over the last several weeks. After the services last Sunday, a number of you came to me and told me about loved ones in your life that have died, that, you know, God bless you. So we got those kinds of losses. The loss of ability, you know, just the aging process, the loss of kids as they move out of the house, the loss of trust in relationships, that sets us back. The loss of a business, the loss of an opportunity. There are so many losses that we go through that many times we're not even aware of, or we just think, it'll be okay, I'm just going to push through this. And yet, we need time to grieve those losses. And so as you look at this story, again, just a quick review, Jesus is here in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's taken his three closest disciples, James, John, and Peter, to be with him to pray. And as it says in Matthew 26, it says, he went on a little further and bowed his face to the ground. Other translations say he fell to the ground. He fell with his face to the ground. And so here we see him just prostrate before the Lord. And he says, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. He's essentially just saying, Lord, I want a bargain here. I want another way. Come on, give me another chance. He says early in verse 38, he says to his disciples, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. He's crushed with grief to the point of death. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in that place of such anguish and pain that you just thought to yourself, man, it would be a whole lot easier if I just died. And I'm not just talking about just in a moment of crisis, but I mean, maybe over a period of weeks and months, you just begin to think, it is just so hard what I'm going through. It's exactly what Jesus is experiencing, this terrible, terrible grief and loss. And so last week, again, I talked about this one point about it, the whole thing of listening to the interruption. In other words, not pushing past it, not medicating yourself through it, not denying it, not pretending it isn't important to you. I mean, I know some of you have pets, and when those pets, some of you had a pet that's died, and man, it was hard, and others like, oh, it's just a pet. I mean, unfortunately, I did that to a friend many years ago. I just, oh, well, now you don't have to feed him, you know? Golly, it was like the worst thing I could have said to the guy. And so those things, all those kind of losses affect us in a profound way, and we need to listen to the interruptions. When we lose control, And all of a sudden, our faith doesn't seem to work anymore because we thought, well, if I do this and I do that, then God's going to do this and He's going to do that. Here we are, we're like Jesus. We're just saying to God, Lord, if it's possible, would you take it away from me? I want another way out. And He says, no, the way out is through death. And maybe for some of you, you've been in that place with God, just pleading for a business to succeed or pleading for a person or a situation, something to be resolved, and you didn't get the answer. And the Lord right now says, I need you to slow down and listen to the interruption. Jesus didn't get his prayer answered. If it's possible, take it from me. The Father said no. Here's what I'm saying is that we as a church body give you permission to feel here. As a part of Willow Drive Baptist Church, you are given permission to feel. You're not weak. You're not immature. You're not bad. Some of you were raised with that impression. If I express my grief or my anger or my frustration, then there's something wrong with me. And that's not the case. As we see Jesus prostrate before God with anguish and grief in his heart, saying, if it's possible. So listen to it. Let's get to the second point. So the second point with experiencing grief and learning from Jesus how he dealt with grief is that we need to know that in it, it breaks our self-will. Hebrews 5:8 says this about Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. This is what I want you to know. Jesus didn't do automatic obedience like we think. Oh yeah, he would always obey the Father. He would always do the Father's will. There was opportunities, I guess, every day where he could have said, no, I'm not going to do that. He did only the things he saw and heard his Father showing him or telling him what to do. But as in the case when they came to him and said, we want to make you king, Jesus could have easily said, okay, let's do it that way. When people came to him and said, you know, we need this or we need, he had the opportunity to say, no, I'm not going to. I'm too tired. It's not my time or whatever. And in this case, there was this opportunity. He could have said, no, no. What happened was his self-will was broken. He's fully human. Take this cup. Take this responsibility away from me. He wants out, and he asked the Father three times to take it out. But then he submitted himself to the Father's will. You see, here's the thing. True obedience is no snap. And here's what's happening with some of you. Some of you, you've experienced loss, you've experienced pain, trauma, whatever it is, and you're still trying to get your way. Or it looks like you're about to experience loss or pain, and you're trying to get your way through this thing. You're trying to figure out, okay, how can I control this event? What can I do to make it happen? Make occur what I want here. And I'm all for persevering and sticking it out and going for it. But there comes a point where you just have to be like Jesus and say, Lord, it's your will, not mine. Yes, press in. But in the end, you have to say, Lord, I'm willing to give up. I'm willing to totally submit to you here. I've talked to people who've moved down into this area. And a few of them, they came down here because of the different construction projects. And they're like, yeah, you know, I'm just down here until I can get back home. And the idea in talking to them is that they just don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. And they miss God in the middle of being here because their attitude is, I'm not where I should be. But God has them here. It's this whole willingness of having your will broken. And Jesus did. And that's how he learned obedience. The third thing that we can learn from Jesus as we go through our grief is this. It brings us finally to a deep place of love and letting go. A deep place of loving, letting go. We have to let go of getting an answer. We have to let go of getting understanding. I think it was Bill Johnson who said this. It is such a great quote. Listen to me. He said this, you have to give up your demand to understand in order to receive the peace that passes understanding. And some of us were there. I need to know. I need to know. And the Lord's not going to tell you. Philip Simmons had Lou Gehrig's disease, and he wrote this from in one of his books called Learning to Fall. He says, as a culture, we have accomplished a lot by seeing life as a set of problems to be solved. We've invented new medicines, we've gone to the moon, we've developed computers, new technology, on and on. We perceive problems and set about solving them. So we have 6 ways to save money on your insurance, 8 ways to have a successful marriage, 3 keys to retirement planning. But here is where we go wrong. For at its deepest level, life is not a problem. Life is a mystery. Problems are to be solved. True mysteries are not. Personally, I wished I could have learned this lesson more easily. Each of us is brought to the cliff's edge, and at such moments, we can either back away in bitterness, in confusion, disillusionment, or leap forward into mystery. We hand ourselves over to God. We can participate in mystery only by letting go of a solution or of understanding. This letting go is the first lesson of falling, and it is the hardest. You see, there's a line that we have to cross. At times, it's called the line of mystery, where we just say to the Lord, I trust you. I don't know why this didn't get answered. I don't know why it went the way it did, but I still trust you. There's mystery. You know, for me, and that mystery may be different for everybody. Let me tell you, for me, here's the mystery. And the mystery is what God's will is, and then you have human will, and then you have the devil's will, and you have the other people's will, and you just have the brokenness of the world itself, and how all of these mix together. I don't understand that. And there are things that happen. I'm like, Lord, I don't understand. We prayed, we believed. And yet I know you have all of these other factors that fit in. And I just have to go back to Psalm 131 from last week. I have to be like a weaned child in the presence of the Lord. Just, I'm content. And to share a little bit more about this, I've asked Renetta to come and to share a little bit of their journey of grief that they've experienced as a family. Since I've known Renetta, she has lost, she and Jay have lost all but one of their parents. And Renetta especially experienced tragedy and the loss of her mother. So she's going to come at this time and share her journey.
That was a little bit more of an emotional intro than I expected, so excuse me for just a minute. About 14 years ago, this is my security blanket, so I'm just going to set it down. I don't really need it. About 14 years ago, in 2003, early 2003, I did a study on Habakkuk, and it wrecked my life. And when I say it wrecked my life, it changed the way that I perceived some things, and it changed the way I measured some of the circumstances of life. You see, Habakkuk was a prophet in the Old Testament during a time speaking to a world on the brink of disaster. The Babylonian Empire was advancing, and it looked like the destruction of Jerusalem was imminent. And God's people were left sitting there, standing there, kneeling there, wondering, where is God? What's going on? They were about to lose the very land that had been promised to them, and they were about to lose it. They were about to starve to death, possibly. And they're asking God, you know, where are you? And in chapter 3, Habakkuk's faithful prayer is one that encourages such an example of faith and hope. As I was reading through those chapters in Habakkuk, I was preparing lessons for the teenagers at the time to encourage their faith. And I got to that last Wednesday night, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And as I stood there teaching that lesson, emotion overcame me and I could not control it. I didn't understand what was going on. But Habakkuk said to God, no matter what, even if we don't have food, And even if we lose our land, no matter what, I will still praise you, and I will find my strength and joy in the Lord, and he will give me hinds feet like the deer and set me on high places. And those words just kept coming and coming and coming to me. And the question that I asked the students that night was, what if you lost something very important, very near and dear to you? Would you still have faith? That question came back to me. I had no idea how it was going to come back. You know, as I asked them that, we answered the question as a group the only way we can, through our circumstances at the time. That's the best way that we can answer those types of questions. And so we did. We answered to the best of our circumstances and to the worst of our circumstances. And I tell you, I was no stranger to bad things happening. You know, since working with the teenagers, we had lost a student. We had, you know, that's a very difficult thing, to lose a student in your group. Jay and I were raising our own kids. That's difficult. You know, you never really know if you're doing everything right or wrong. You wonder all the time. And we were just still learning life. But the next difficult circumstance took my breath away, sapped me of my strength, and challenged my faith at the very core. In the blink of an eye, without the luxury of saying goodbye, my sweet Southern lady mother was ripped from our family way too soon in an accident. And I remember as Jay and I were on our way to Monroe, Louisiana, to pick up my dad, who had been injured in the same accident, I was looking out the car window up at the inky black sky with all the stars, feeling this total shock, loss of everything. And the words of Habakkuk came back to me. And I looked out that window and I told God, I do not like what you have allowed to happen, but I will still praise you. You see, I made a choice, and we come to a place where we have to make a choice in our hard circumstances. Over the years, the personalization of those scriptures has changed. Now it looks something more like, even though my mother-in-law completely forgot our names and lost her battle with Lewy body's dementia, even though my dad was really confused and his body just gave out, even though my sister has MS, an incurable disease, and I pray continually for her healing, even though we still face some very difficult family situations, even though I prayed and prayed for healing for a friend, and it didn't happen, yet I will still praise the Lord, because he will make my feet like hinds feet, and he will set me on high places. So I want to challenge you this morning to read those verses out of Habakkuk and find your no matter what. Know you're no matter what, and be prepared for the Lord to set your feet on high places. Thank you.
Another thing that we can learn from Jesus as we experience grief is this. It's just two words. Be quiet. Be quiet. Jesus took his friends with him, right? Peter, James, and John, they were with him. And it says, one of the Gospels says they were a stone's throw away. So, you know, 30 yards, whatever. Here's what we need to know, is that friends can only be with you and be close to you to a certain degree when you're experiencing loss. We have to have friends with us. But our friends can't take away the pain. It's you and the Lord at this moment. Those friends were there. They were close by. We need companionship that can encourage us and pray for us and support us and even walk behind us is what they're doing. They're behind us. I'm glad they're there. I mean, let me tell you what. I just want to speak to the friends. Those of you who know people that are going through loss, they don't need a friend who's in their face telling them why all of this happened and trying to, so say, take God off the hook or explain everything. There may come a point when that's appropriate. But let me tell you, early on, it is not appropriate. What we need to do, learn from Job's friends, be there and shut up. Be quiet. The last thing that I want to point out is this, as we learn from his ministry, from his own grief, is that praying is at the center of transformation. What do you see Jesus doing in this passage from Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46? What is he doing? All along, he's praying. He's praying. It begins with a prayer, if it's possible, but then it becomes a prayer of submission, of relinquishing. I'm turning this over to you. And man, I have heard some of the most amazing stories of transformations, of individuals who've said, you know what? Until I submitted, until I relinquished, until I gave up, there was no peace. But when I relinquished and gave up, then the peace came, or the answer came, or the direction came, whatever it was. It's exactly what happened. As he relinquished, it says, I believe it's in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, that the Father sent an angel to strengthen Jesus. You see, what gave Jesus the strength to go to the cross was not his resolve necessarily. It wasn't his own physical strength or his desire. It was he prayed. And God gave him strength by sending an angel, and he'll do the same for us. He'll give us the strength to go through the death. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If Jesus needed to pray during his loss, guess what? If he needed to pray, you better believe we need to pray. We don't need to be like Peter. If you read on down the rest of the story, what happens is they come to take Jesus, and Peter's got a knife, and he lops a guy's ear off. I'm not going to let them get control here. I'm going to make sure my will is done. He cuts it off. He didn't need prayer, he says. I just need control. And he missed an opportunity to follow the Lord in this element of grief. You see, what a contrast. God is inviting us here to detach from control, so we can begin to hear his voice of love and receive his strength. But let me tell you, friend, you have to go through the cross. You have to go through the death. You have to go through the loss. There is resurrection. Absolutely, there's resurrection. And it may happen a week after the loss. It may happen 2 years after. Yes, there is resurrection, but to experience resurrection, you have to experience the loss, the grief. Jesus said in John chapter 12, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And for you who are going through this valley of the shadow of death, the Lord says, let me lead you. Let me lead you through this time. In the end, it'll move to green pastures. In the end, there will be much growth. In the end, there is resurrection. But the pain is real that you're going through during this loss. As I wrap up this message, let me just give you a couple of things to kind of stick with. One is this. If you have the book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Pete Scazzaro, I encourage you to read the chapter on enlarging your soul through grief and loss. That's on our reading list. If you'll look down, at, I believe it's on the values page of our website. We have that listed as one of the books that we encourage people to read to help them process grief. The book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. The second thing that I would tell you is this. There is an invitation from the Father today. invitation to persevere, to walk through the storm, to experience the loss, to know the grief, to move through the hardship, an opportunity to persevere. You look at every major person in the Bible, and every one of them had to experience loss, be it Jesus or Paul, Moses. 40 years he had to wander around with people after God told him, you're going to lead them into the promised land, and they rebelled. Their decision. And he had to walk around with them for 40 years. Joseph, for decades, he did not know about the whereabouts of his father or his brothers. He lived in the state of grief and loss. He worked through it. He persevered. David and so many others in the Bible persevered. And so my encouragement to you is, yes, in your weakness, in your loneliness, in your brokenness, just persevere. That doesn't mean you have to walk around and just have a smile on your face and always a positive attitude. It just means when I fall, I'm falling forward. I'm falling towards the Lord. A third thing I would tell you is this, is that God will use your pain. In the end, He will use your pain to bring hope to somebody else. Just as Renetta did this morning through all the loss that they have gone through. And fourthly, I would add this. I've already said it, but I just want to reemphasize this, that transformation comes by way of the cross. Jesus faced the cross, and if you look at verse 46, what does He say to His disciples? Up, let's be going. He saw the loss. He knew the cross. And He said, okay, let's go. And my encouragement to you that today is don't run. Don't retreat from your grief. And some of you today, you're stuck in your grief. It may have been several years, even decades, maybe for some, you're still in the same place. And the Lord is saying to you, let's go. Get help. Receive prayer. Go to a therapist. Go to your doctor. Receive help from someone. Don't stay in this place of loss. You can move through it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let me pray for you. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I pray for these today, especially for those that are on the cusp of losing something, that You give them much grace to receive Your will. And if they're still to fight and if they're not to give in, then I pray that You give them perseverance to do so. But Lord, if You want them just to, as Jesus did, say, not my will, but Yours be done. Give them the grace, the ability to say that. And then give them the strength, as You gave Jesus, to walk through it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.